much. Thank you. I'm gonna thank you for the cowling, by the way. I'm gonna let everybody keep going for a while. I thank you so much. I always thought it would be funny. I remember being in chapel and yelling and screaming for the speakers that come, and I always thought it'd be funny if you just one day rousted a homeless guy and shoved him into chapel. And watched everybody, homeless guy walks up and it was like, yeah, greatest preacher in the world. Like, oh, wow, where am I? And I laugh because people walk in, you didn't know who they are, like, yeah, we love you. Who is this guy? I don't know, but he's awesome. And I loved it. And I learned something. I was always one of the loudest people. I didn't realize. I mean, I've always been loud, but I didn't realize how loud I was. But understand, hey, loudest people are the first ones to go to sleep, though. They're the first. I worked on it. I didn't want to be that way. I just remember, I was listening to an old, you won't know what this is for you guys, a tape. They had these things called tapes. Yeah, an old, and I heard Dr. Howes preaching, and I heard this, Evan! And I was like, that was me. And I was in the balcony, you know? I said, and there's this lady that used to always sit in front of us, and she never got used to me, ever. And I'd go, Amen, preacher! And as soon as I go, Amen! Look back at me, you know? And I go, sorry. She goes, no, you're not. I said, okay, I'm not, you know? And so I loved it. I kind of chuckle because it's hard to explain how much you'll miss what you have. The hard schedule, the stuff like that. When they're like, you ever think about what you just did, by the way? They said, no school. Which day was it? No classes? Friday, no classes. You're like, yeah! And I thought, wait a minute, dummy, you're still paying for that class. Like, they're not giving you a discount on your bill. What they're saying is you're paying us for a day off, and you're like, yeah, let's do 100 of them! And you should be going, I want a refund! You know, I just started a mob at Howes Anderson College, didn't I? Yeah. Next thing, give us Barabbas. And if you have your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 6. It's kind of funny when you're thinking about, you got one chance, right? I'm coming to Howes Anderson College, and I think, boy, I thought of a million things I'd love to say. And I'll tell you, be honest with you, this is something you'll wrestle with. You'll wrestle with when you get in the ministry. You probably wrestle with it now. There's a part of me that's like, oh, I could do this illustration. It's funny, they'd remember me. And the Holy Spirit taps you on the shoulder and says, is this about you or is this about me? And you go, oh, I know, Lord. And Satan's always there to tap me on the shoulder to try to make it about me. But I said, what helped me? What really, really helped me? And there's a philosophy. I'm going to give you a philosophy today. I'm going to ask you to make a decision today. But a philosophy that I was able to apply that I learned right here is an Old Testament survey in this room. And that philosophy has helped me so much in doing ministry. And I hope you get the philosophy today. I'm going to take you to two places. One is our text area, and then one, I'll just read an introduction. But Luke chapter 6, starting at verse number 39. Luke chapter 6, starting at verse 39. I was laughing while you're turning there. Last Sunday, I got half of my verses completely wrong. And I thought, what a I'm going to go preach at Howes Anderson College, my alma mater. And I'd be like, I've never read the Bible, but they gave me a degree, you know. And I read these three times and made sure, okay, these are in here. They are. Luke chapter 6, verse 39. We're going to read through verse 45. The Bible says this. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the pit, into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceiveth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree that is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good, And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Turn to Genesis chapter 1, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Turn to Genesis chapter 1, and then we'll have a quick word of prayer and ask God to bless in the service here. While you're turning, before we pray, I want to ask you to make a decision today. And it's going to be a strange decision because you came to college for this. I'm going to ask you to change yourself. And you go, well, that's why I'm here at college. You know, I had so many life-changing sermons, I don't even know who I am anymore. But I'm going to apply it a little bit that'll help you in ministry. Let's have a word of prayer and then get right in the message. Father, we look to you today to do a work. I'm very keenly aware that as I speak today, these are the people who are going to go across the world. These are the people that are going to affect thousands of lives. It's a privilege to be able to talk to the people who you've ordained to make a difference in the world. Father, we ask that you'd bless in the sermon. Let your word be proclaimed. Let Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. Change us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. A thought for you is in Genesis chapter 1. I was in the dorms here with Pastor Wilkerson. He was his last semester, my first semester. He taught me how to cut hair. And that was a curse. I've had to do thousands of haircuts since then. It's always funny, though, because sometimes a guy at church, I heard you cut hair. Yeah, can you do that? No, I got one haircut. Your ears are going to stick out and your sides are going to be short. That's all I know. You're going to look like you're going to hell's end. I said, you know, think about this. It didn't happen this way. But remember, I was in the dorms with him. What if, and it wasn't this way, what if I was the guy who influenced him to be a better soul winner? Do you know how many thousands of lives I would be affecting through that one moment with a guy in the dorms at Hiles Anderson? It's about 15, 20 years after you're gone that people start talking about the great missionaries in other countries and the great people, and you go, well, that was my roommate, that was my bus partner, that was my, and then you start thinking, I wonder if I could have influenced them more. What more could I have done to have, I have a ministry in different countries because I prayed with people that I was in the dorms with. And I don't ever want you to miss that. That's why I'm so keenly aware of who I'm talking to. You don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm well over 20 years ahead of you, and I know who I'm talking to. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. I'm going to take you through Genesis chapter 1, give you a principle. And look, let's look at verse 11. I think after you go through four of these verses, you'll know where I'm going. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed and fruit yielding seed after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Go to verse 21. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the water brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. You're taking a guess where we're going? Look at verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Three guesses on what I'm emphasizing here. After his kind. Everything produces what it is, not necessarily what it wants. So you will produce what you are, not necessarily what you want. The reason I said this was one of the greatest truths that I ever got in the Bible is I came here, I didn't know, I just knew God called me to pastor or preach, and I didn't know what he wanted me to do. And you got to understand, I had never seen anything like this. I'm not trying to be mean, because I wanted to be here, and I wanted to be in. I mean, it wasn't a critical statement, but for me, it was like showing up at an Amish prison camp. I had 150 demerits waiting for me before I got here. There were meetings I was supposed to go to that I didn't know about, and I showed up 2 days late, and I showed up I came in the midterm, you know, whatever, in January. And they said, well, sir, you got 150 demerits. I said, oh, my goodness, how many do you need to be expelled? They said 125. I thought, well, I didn't think they were going to let me in anyway. You know, that was fun while it happened. I didn't. It was a whole nother world for me, and so the Bible says everything produces what it is, but not necessarily what you want. So you ever see a parent I'll just use my key here. It's a parent. Here's what they say to their kids: "Don't smoke, kids. It'll kill you." My mom told me not to smoke, and I didn't listen to her, and I wish I could quit, but I can't quit. So just take my advice, don't smoke. You know what the kid does? The kid grows up and says, "Don't smoke, kid." Because you produce what you are, not necessarily what you want.
Right.
So you think you know what you're going to do in the ministry. You think you know what you were called to. In all the ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. You're going down this path, and God directs you. Whoop! And you find out you're doing something else. And you're thinking, I didn't train for that. You know, the pastor, I want you to do this. You don't look at him and say, well, I wasn't trained for that. You say, yes, sir. Okay, yeah. And you go, how am I going to do this? I was hired on staff to be starting an adults class. And the youth director left suddenly. And he said, can you work with the youth for a little while? And I said, I don't know if I had enough classes for that, Pastor. Maybe I'll go back to college for a week or two. I said, yes, sir. And then I said, I got to know what I'm doing. So I took a big legal pad, and I wrote down, here's what I want in a teenager. Here's what I think God wants. I didn't know where I was going. And I wrote down, here's what God would want in a teenager. And I wrote it all down. I made the perfect teenager. It was great. I mean, I wanted someone who loved God, didn't just have rules that they had to run to. They wanted to serve God. I wanted people who wanted to go soul winning. I mean, wanted to be soul winning. I didn't want someone who said, if you don't go soul winning, we're going to kick you out of the Christian school, or you know, you got to click a number. I mean, I wanted people who really wanted to go soul winning. I wanted teenagers who prayed, who loved God. I wanted teenagers who were doing ministry, not teenagers who were going to train for ministry. None of you knows that you're going to be alive and graduate. You have right now, and you have this ministry. That's all you have. If you're just training for ministry, you're making a huge mistake. And so I made the whole list, and it was a great list. I said, Lord, how do I do this? And I remember chapel. You produce what you are, not necessarily what you want. So I've got to be an on-fire soul winner. You know, I made a rule for myself that is killing me now. I used to be in great shape. Years ago, I took second in the state in wrestling. I was in great shape. I am in shape. I have a shape now. It's growing in the Lord. And I have this rule, okay? If I'm soul winning and I see somebody, I'm going to chase them down. I'm going to be excited. And I'm going to try to witness to them. And now it looks different. I used to run. I was a great runner. I used to run. Now I kind of hobble or wobble. I tell my legs to run, and you don't understand this, but when you hit 50, your legs just don't do it. Your brain's like, run. Your legs are, you know. And then everything starts, like, your knees start cracking, your ankle starts hurting. And I see someone like, I told the Lord, I'm not going to get too dignified to chase people down. I will not be so dignified that I can't. So I, okay. Wait, hold on. I'll chase someone down and they'll stop and I'll say, just a minute. Just hold on. I really do this. It's pitiful. And I'm with Skyview Baptist Church. I want to give you a quick invitation, and more important, I want to talk to you about going to heaven. Is that something you ever wondered about? And usually they kind of look like, why is this old guy chasing me? Some guy's like, dude, I didn't steal it. They'll make, you know, I they don't know. But I said, I want teens that are excited for the Lord. I want teens who actually walk with God. Here at Hollis College, I remember a time when I got so busy. But it was a couple months. I hadn't really prayed, you know. You can't help but read the Bible because it's your assignments. I heard preaching. But I lost my relationship with God. And it hit me. I was like, what am I doing here? I didn't come here for a degree. I came here for God. What a mess. There used to be a lost and found closet. I don't know what that is now, but that was where they hide the bodies, I think, now or something. I don't know. But But it's hard to find a private place on campus. And so I went down to the Lost and Found closet and I'd say, God, if I miss class, I don't care. I'm going to spend time with you. If I get up late, I'm not going to race off and pray later. I'll get character to get up on time, but if I get up late, I'm going to pray. I'm going to walk with you. And I said, I want teenagers to walk with God. So guess what I have to do when nobody's looking? I have to get up when nobody sees. I have to say, praying is kind of funny. I was so relieved when I read in the Bible. Jesus looked to heaven and prayed. When you're in college and you kneel down and you close your eyes, you're not going to pray. I go, dear God, oh, I just spent an hour in prayer. I feel so refreshed, you know. And I was scared to kneel down. And by the way, when you do that, I don't know about you, but then your legs fall asleep and you can't get up. I'm laying there like, I got to go to class, Lord, but oh, I can't go to class, Lord. And so I learned I can look up. And boy, I was like, I can open my eyes, Lord. Praise the Lord. I'll stay awake for most of this, you know. And I honestly, when I talked to God, I said, God, I don't want to be here. But I know that means a lot to you that I came when I didn't want to be here. God, I love you. Now, understand this. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us. He became what we needed. Amen. When you love somebody, you become what they need. And so I said, I'm gonna be what I need to be, so I can produce what God wants me to produce. Because you'll produce what you are. Everything produces after its kind. You'll produce what you are, not necessarily what you want. I don't want to just structure a bunch of rules and then make them conform and dress a certain way because they conform. I want the Holy Spirit to convict them and tell them what he wants them to wear. I do this. I've never heard God. Well, I kind of heard God speak. I'll tell you how I hear God speak. But when I go to the closet, I say, Lord, what do you want me to wear today? He's never said, wear the black. Right? I have heard God's voice a couple times. He uses people. Honey, that looks horrible. Okay. That's a sign from God that I might not want to wear that. He uses people sometimes. But what I'm doing is I'm just trying to get in the habit of saying, God, what do you want? Because I want people who say, God, how do you want me to dress? See, if you become the right thing and people get around you, they'll catch your traits. Who's got a roommate? Raise your hand. Okay. If your roommate has a stupid laugh and you've made fun of them, you're going to catch their stupid laugh. There was someone I used to make fun of, and they go, and then you would laugh at them going, and that made them laugh out of embarrassment, and they get worse. And I was with a speaker, and I was an assistant pastor, and the speaker said something at the table with all these big-name pastors, and I shouldn't even been at the table, and I was being quiet, and I went, oh, man. Because you'll pick up what the people are. You produce what you are, not necessarily what you want. When you have kids, you know what you figure out? What? You have more bad habits than you thought you had. Lizzie, my oldest daughter, Lizzie White, when she was little, she'd come by and she's barely walking. I kind of kick her in the diaper and she would, you know? And that was kind of our little thing we'd play with. And I was way too rough with her. I mean, she got kicked out of the nursery because she was beating the kids up. She got sent up to the next level. And I was like, they told me, and I was like, part of me's sad, part of me's kind of proud. How many did she beat up, you know? But I was too rough, right? And so one day she came by and she came to me and she goes, kick. And I was like, well, I mean, fair's fair. So that's our little game, kick, kick. One day we were at church. I was an assistant pastor for Pastor Mike Mutchler and his wife, Miss Vicki Mutchler, was there. And she loves Miss Vicki. And I was standing in the foyer of the church and she comes running in, Miss Vicki, boo, right in the shin, right in front of me. And I was like, I'm so sorry, Miss Vicki. She goes, ow. I said, I know I should spank her, but I should spank me. I taught her that. I didn't mean to do that. She goes, you do need to spank you. I'm like, I know. I'm like, oh. Your kids pick up these habits because you don't produce what you want. You produce what you are. when you get married. Sometimes you don't even hear the statements that you make. People make statements to me. A guy says, my wife, so frustrated with her. She's so stupid. She doesn't give me any respect. She's stupid, and she doesn't give you any respect. I wonder who produced that. Where did that come from, buddy? You're the leader. She's gaining your spirit. Let me tell you a little secret. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you can live with you. If you have someone in your room that has your personality and you can't get along, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And you're fussing and fighting. And here's what you're doing. I'm going to turn my roommate in. I got to change my roommate. I got to figure out what to do with this roommate. You know what they did yesterday, and you know what they did the day before. And let me tell you. And you're going, I got to change my roommate. Why do you got to change your roommate? Well, so I can have peace, so I can be the selfish one. You know what the verses just before this says? Love your enemy. Pray for them which despitefully use you. He starts telling you all these things. Can I tell you a little secret that you forget? You can't love your enemy if you're asking God to kill your enemy. You got to have an enemy. And it doesn't do any good if your enemy's all the way in another country and says, death to America. Oh, yeah, I love those people. Yeah, I love them. Yeah, because I don't see them. No, when your enemy's in your room and you're living with them, you actually have to love them. But you don't want to love them. You want to change them because there's not enough room for two selfish people. So the problem is if they hang around you, you're going to produce what you are, not what you want. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble for this. I get in trouble for this all the time. I hide behind my pulpit when I do this. I'm like, you're going to kill me, ladies. A lady will come into my office, and she'll say, my kids will not listen to me. They do their own thing. I can't get my husband to back me up. I can't get my husband to discipline those kids. He won't do what I want. He won't do what you want? Yeah. Your kids won't do what you want? Yeah. Where are they learning that from? Where are they getting the rebellion from authority from? I have said that in my office. And ran like you wouldn't believe. Don't kill me. Am I okay? You produce what you are, not necessarily what you want. I remember I took a church. The church was 3 months behind on the rent. It was down to 15 people. The rent was really high. The Lord told me to take the church. I was trying to figure out how to keep it going. And we couldn't do anything. We couldn't run a bus. We couldn't do missions. I mean, the church was just about to go under. And so I had to do one of the hardest things I ever had to do in the ministry. I had to write letters to missionaries who went on the field that we said we would support and say, yeah, you're there now, and we're not going to support you. That was really hard. The church grew. It started doing well, and we're at a spot where we're going to be able to support a few missionaries, and I was trying to figure out which missionaries to support. And I got out that legal pad, and I started going, anybody who wins someone to Christ is supportable, period. If it's 1 in 100 years, I'll support it. But if I got one who can win 10 in 100 years, you know what I mean? I'm going to try to the best missionary I can. So I put down, what's the best missionary? And I read the Bible, and I went through verses, and I spent 3 or 4 weeks on this. I was going to present it at the church. I finally got it down. And honestly, it's something I'd love to have taught here at Hiles Anderson. It was done very well and better than I normally do. And I read that, and I didn't know the Holy Spirit was setting me up. Here's why the Holy Spirit set me up. I read that, and after I got done, and I was proud of it, he tapped me on the shoulder and said, you don't qualify. You wouldn't support you. Oh, I mean, I felt pretty high on the throne. Well, what do I want in a missionary? I'll tell you what I didn't want, me. So I said, okay, Lord, this is my list. If I'm going to help missionaries, I've got to be what I need to be so I can produce what I need to produce. And that became my list to say, I'm going to fulfill these things. Because in ministry, you produce what you are, not necessarily what you want. You know what? Last night I was alone in my room. I had this. None of you knows what I did with this. You hope I did the right thing. But you know, if I don't do the right thing, guess what's going to happen? That's going to be produced in my people. I don't have to tell them. I don't have to, they don't have to know. This is what I am. What I am alone is what they'll become alone. So if I want people who walk with God and when nobody's looking, they do what's right, I've got to do what's right when nobody's looking. I used to deliver donuts for Dunkin' Donuts. That's why your parents, many of you have parents I went to college with. I helped start a ministry here. I did a lot of work here. But most of them will know me as the donut man. And I brought all the day-old donuts back from Hiles Anderson College, and I'm the reason your parents are having heart problems right now. And they would eat them. I mean, it was just, it was crazy. And there's nothing like I'd take a bag of donuts, just in a bag, and you take it down to the men's dorm, and it was just like hog. You know, they go after it, and some guy dive in there and go, Boston cream, and it was, and sometimes you'd drive through the night, you know, and you had to get your route done, and I had these long stretches of road, and where I'm from, it's all hills, and turns. You don't have long straight stretches. You just never get that hardly, and long straight stretches of road. 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm falling asleep because I've been at program, you know. And I haven't slept at all, and I'm trying to stay awake, and I'm slapping myself and driving and rolling the window down at 10 degrees and got my head out the window. And stuff like, I showed people this. You see my leg right here? No feeling left. You can only do that so much in chapel, guys, and after a while, it doesn't hurt anymore. I can stab myself with a pen, and I'd be like, oh, it doesn't hurt. It's just nothing. And I'm going down the road trying to stay awake, and the speed limit's 55 miles an hour. God says, keep the law of your land. And nobody expects me to keep the law. But what do I want to produce? People who serve when everybody's watching? People who only do the rules that are enforced? Or do I want to produce people who serve God when nobody's looking? So I drive 55 miles an hour, and it seems like I could just get out of the vehicle and run faster. It drives me crazy. I can't. My right leg is not saved. When I look away somewhere, and I'm a true Baptist. I have three minivans. I go to Baptist church, and when I go there and I see pickup trucks, I'm like, yeah, you compromisers. Baptists have minivans, you know, and that minivan will go 90 miles an hour. I know this because my right leg's not saved, and I'm zoning off. The last ticket I got, years ago, I was singing songs to God. A mighty fortress is our God. And I'm just going down the road. And I'm like, whoop, 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 a bulwark. Oh, dear Lord. I don't want to come home and tell my wife this is going to be a big ticket, right? And so I'm tempted, but when no one's looking, and I go 55 miles an hour, that's what I'm going to produce in the lives of the people around me. See, you produce what you are, not necessarily what you want. So here's it'll help you so much. I've been in those meetings, and I'm not a super organized person. You got to kind of give it to me simply. There's 633 commandments in the Old Testament, so I've been sold. I didn't count them, okay? And when he says, love God and love man, simple people like me can go, okay, I can remember that, right? And when they say, well, here's 45 things you do today. You need to have good teams. You need a hard preaching. You know, you need to kick them once in a while. And then you tell them, love Jesus. And you preach standards. You have standards. Always have standards. And I'm like in these lists, right? Halfway through the list, you know what happened to me? I'll tell you what happened to me. I wondered how many lights are on that chandelier. A third of you are done now. A third of you are done. I thought your eyes are like, I'm going to count right now. And that one's out. And I could not be in the service anymore until that light gets fixed. Every chapel service, like, you know. And I'm gone. And then they're like, oh, you're the youth director. Oh, there's 45 things I'm supposed to know. Oh, what am I supposed to, what if I miss one of them? What if it's the thing that they need? And What am I supposed to do with this? I can love you, God. And I can serve you when no one's looking. And I can walk with you. And I can live for you and not man. And I can exalt you and not myself. And if I just do that, and I get around them, he says the disciple's not above his master. He'll be as his master. You can only take them so far. Sometimes that's one of the good things about college. I can only take them so far. I'm like, well, let's get them under some other people that can take them up in some other areas. But if I could produce people that love God and follow the Holy Spirit, he can kind of take care of the rest. I don't have to chase them down and make sure they're doing the right thing. I'm going to pick on her for just a second. I took my daughter shopping when she was younger. And I said, I'm going to get her some an outfit, so on, and let's go do this. And we're looking through stuff. I said, oh, how about this? She goes, So what's wrong? She goes, well, that's kind of liberal. Oh. How about this? And she's like, that's kind of liberal. I'm her pastor. Her pastor's a liberal, you know. I don't know what liberal is, I guess. And I was just laughing because there's different things in style, and I have never ever been good about being in style, all right? I'm in style once every 20 years when the styles change back to where I'm at, you know? Right? And I've always been like that. So she's like, and I thought, she's got her own walk with God. You know how fun it is as a pastor to have people in your church that have more convictions than you? You know, there's not a lot of places I can go where I get to be the liberal. I'm against everything. I'll never forget when I sent a college student off, and they came back from college, and they looked at me, and they said, some guy liked me. This is years ago, and they looked at me and said, boy, he wanted to give me some bling. What? He wanted to give me some bling. I punch him in the nose. That sounds bad. I don't know what it is, but I was trying to keep my cool. Like, oh, tell me about this bling. Oh, yeah, this guy, he liked me, and he was going to give me some bling. And I'm like, I'm going to go to that college, and I'm going to. And I went over to Tina. What's bling? Yeah, jewelry, things to go bling. Oh, yeah, bling. Yeah, bling. So I didn't know what it was, but I knew I was against it. I'm built that way. And the thing is if you're in college right now and you have roommates and you walk with God, you're going to produce in their life a walk with God. I was with my college roommate. He was teaching at a Christian school in a distant state. I hadn't seen him in many years. I got a chance to see him, really enjoyed it. We were talking about some of the crazy stuff that happened and some of the rules that were in the rule book because of us or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. And he said, first he said this. He said, you know, I came to college a semester before you. He said, I kind of got in a crowd of people that were kind of cool, the crowd that was, you know, did everything perfect, but they just didn't walk with God. I knew I was backslidden. He said, and then you came and you started praying, and then you asked me if I wanted to pray, and I didn't want them to see it, and I didn't want you to see me say no. So I started praying with you, and God broke my heart, and I got right with God, and I started a real prayer life. And then he said this, which I should feel bad about. He said, and then the next year, I crawled in the window and you turned me in. I don't even remember turning you in. He said, I got expelled. That was a big deal. I don't know if it's still, is that still like expelled kind of thing? I don't know. That was, you're in trouble. Depends, yeah. Whatever it was, that was, and he said, you turned me in. I said, I don't even remember that. I feel horrible that I don't remember that. He says, but if you didn't keep the rules, it would have broke my heart because I knew you were the real deal. And I said, if I could go back in time, the only thing I would do is work a little harder to become what the people need so I could help more people. So here's the principle for you. You produce what you are and not necessarily what you want. The people you're trying to change won't be changed because you figured out enough rules or enough authority or brought the hammer down on them enough. Their heart will be changed when you're changed and you get around them. I get convicted. Pastor Wilkerson picked me up at the airport. I just get convicted sitting in the car with him. I just sat in the car. I said, I'm not going to say anything. He said, Brother White, I know you better than that. I'm going to try not to say anything. I said, you're such a good person. You always say the right thing, and I offend people by saying hello. I mentioned someone just earlier. I said, I literally had, and this happens to me all the time, I had a lady in my office, with my wife and I were talking to her, and she said, I'm trying to talk to you, I don't want to hurt your feelings, Pastor, but she says, I came from kind of an abusive lifestyle, and your voice sets me off. I'm going, my voice, just my voice. And I was like, well, a lot of people are like that. I said, you're not a bad person. And my wife goes, I'm one of them. And so I was sitting in the car with Brother Wilkerson, and I'm like, man, I want to say the right thing. Why? Because who he is, just who he is with God, brings conviction. And it makes me a better person being around him. Are you that way? So I'm going to leave you with this thought, and I'm going to ask you just take a moment to pray. Maybe you're trying to produce something in someone's life so you can look good. Only you know your motive, by the way, and you don't know the other person's motive. But maybe you're trying to get your roommate to change so you can have a happier life. If you're married, maybe you're trying to change your spouse so you could be the only selfish one in the house. I know I just got a minute, but let me say this. If you're going to get married, guys, don't get a wife. If you're going to get a wife, she's going to fall short of that sometime. She's not perfect. You get married to give a husband. You can always give a husband. And when she falls short of being the perfect person, then you're a better husband. Then you're needed. Then you're great. And wives, don't go get a husband. You get married to give a wife. And when he fails at being a husband, because nobody's perfect, or he has a season where he's really struggling, you now can give a wife. And here's the thing. It's because you're producing what you are. That God can work on their heart, and they'll want to give you a spouse back. You produce what you are, not necessarily what you want. So maybe you're fighting some things right now. We just got a minute for invitation, but I'm going to ask you just to pray. In fact, if you could run the invitation, I'm not sure they do at the college, but I'm going to take it just a minute and just tell God, I want to start changing me so I can produce what I am, not just what I want.